an amazing time of praise and worship that was. Don't we love the presence of the Lord here? He's amazing. Amazing. Stuff happens in the presence of the Lord, you know. Bodies get healed. Souls get healed. Relationships can get healed. There's nothing he cannot do. And I just wanted to start by reminding you of something Andy Elms kept repeating on the Saturday night of the conference. If you were here, you'll know what that was. Aslan is on the move. Aslan is on the move. I love that. And it wasn't just a bit of fun, it was a prophetic declaration. Aslan, of course, is the lion in the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, representing our majestic King Jesus. And what the Holy Spirit is stirring all of us to believe is that Jesus is on the move. There really is an increased activity of his Spirit going on here in our lives corporately, and you know, we trust in your life as an individual. But the challenge is for all of us to believe and act. Just say to the person next to you, believe and act. Faith exploits, it's called. I want to start with a scripture. Daniel 11, chapter 32 says this: the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. I love that. I love the combination of the two. It's not just that we'll carry out great exploits, we'll be strong. And it's not just that we'll be strong and in this holy huddle of strength, we'll go out and do great exploits. Now, the word exploit, it's not really used in our kind of modern day language in a positive way now. It's used more in a negative way, but actually it does have a very positive meaning. And the word exploit, one of the meanings of it is to utilize for accomplishment, achievement, and adventure. And I love those things because we all need those three things. There's purpose and fulfillment in those three things. And, you know, we can find our purpose and fulfillment in a whole host of things, many things. But the Lord is working and wanting us to aim for purpose and fulfillment in the will of God. Your personal fulfillment, the best it can be, top of the tree, really the best sense of fulfillment and purpose is slap bang in the middle of the will of God. That sense of this is what I am born for. It's in the will of God. And he's working in all of us this passion for his adventure. This kind of, I'm just not satisfied with mundane. I'm just not satisfied with life on this level. Normal, you know, average. He's wanting to work in all of us like an agitation for new things. Things we haven't seen before. Things we haven't heard before. Surprising things. Amazing things. Supernatural things. And there's this pull on the inside. If you're alive to God, there's this pull on the inside for something more. And I just, what Paul describes it brilliantly. In Philippians, he puts it like this. I'm not saying I have this all together, that I have it made. But I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Love that. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. I declare that to the Lord, to myself, to the enemy. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So what's our goal? This, you know, I've got my eye on the goal. What's our goal? Our God-given goal. To be supernatural people, like Jesus, being like Jesus, but doing like Jesus. You know, if I was thinking about a title for this message, and I called it Anointed to Do. like Jesus. You know, I think a lot about being like Jesus, but I'm really challenged at the moment to great with the being, but to actually do, for that to translate into some sort of action. And it's out of the boat, really, onto the water, doing the things that my natural mind says I can't do. Your natural mind says, you can't do that. You can't heal the sick. You can't see people who are captive set free. Well, yes, you can. Holy Spirit is in us. And I want to talk about Peter and John. Peter and John, think about it. The morning they woke up and saw that lame man healed, it would have felt like a very ordinary day. They would have felt like very ordinary people. And in fact, they were doing a very ordinary thing for Jewish people. They were going to pray in the temple. And we know the story. We're going to look at it. Something really extraordinary happened. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. Ordinary thing, normal routine, at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day, think of it, every day to beg from those going into the temple. Begging is never the will of God for a human being. It's so low level. It's such a pitiful state. Never the will of God for any person to have to do that. Anyway, what happened? He saw Peter and John about to enter and asked them for money. He thought, that's as good as it can get. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. I find that really interesting. Not look at him. Look at us. You know, the Lord really wants us to get to the place where we're bold enough to say, look at me. You know, in a Holy Spirit right way, look at me, because we're aware of who's on board. Look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. He certainly did. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. One word, walk. It's a faith word, wasn't it? Walk. Everything would have felt really ordinary. You know, I'm really struck by this. They felt normal. Everything felt normal. They'd done this hundreds of times before. They would have passed that man hundreds of times before. He was laid daily in the same position. I'm sure they knew his name. You know, maybe they'd had a chat with him before. But today was different. Peter and John were different. They'd been in that upper room. They'd had this God encounter, and they knew it. They knew they were different. They believed they were different. So when this man, I've called him Malachi in my own head, because it kind of helps me grasp the reality of the story. When Malachi cried out for money, just expecting a few coins to be thrown in his direction, he got way more than he bargained for. He was the same, but they weren't. They didn't have money, but they knew what they did have. They knew they had the anointing of Jesus Christ, something way better than money, further reaching, more life-changing than money. They had the anointing of Jesus. Next slide. They had the anointing of Jesus, and actually they believed it, and they acted upon it. In the name of Jesus, they said, get up and walk. But they didn't leave it there. They didn't leave it there. They actually reached down, didn't they? Lifted him up, because they fully expected him to walk. It wasn't just, let's see how this goes. Walk, reach out, lift him up, and his ankles and feet, interestingly, ankles and feet received strength. He leapt up and walked. They believed it and acted on it. Those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. Just say to the person next to you, those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. Right. The point I'm wanting to make, really, with this story, is the kind of ordinariness of it, but then the extraordinariness of it. Miracles happen on ordinary days. They happen in ordinary settings. You probably won't feel anointed. You know, you probably won't get an angel pointing at a person saying, that's the one. That's the one you need to talk to. That's the one you need to heal. But if we believe we're anointed and go for it, God will move. I want to share a testimony this morning that I heard via Jane. I can't even see Jane. She's somewhere here. She's downstairs. Hello, Jane. Jane shared this with me a couple of weeks ago about Luana. Luana, she'd been praying. She just wanted to talk to somebody about Jesus. And if you know Luana, you know, it's not, she's pushing her natural boundaries right there. She's not, you know, I'm sure if you talked with her, she wouldn't call herself an evangelist or somebody that's overly confident to go around chatting about Jesus. But she was just convicted. I want somebody to talk to about my faith. And she was dog walking. And she saw this lady, and she'd kind of said hello to her many times before, just in the park. But on this particular day, they got chatting. And the lady said to her, she shared how she had a problem with her eyes and how she'd actually got a detached retina in one of her eyes. And you know when you've got that on the inside, I've got to say something. I can't just pour you. I'm so sorry. You know, hope you get better soon. She knew she had to drop something of Jesus in. So she said to her, would you like me to pray for you? And the lady was so blessed. She said, that would be amazing. Thank you so much. Gave her a hug. What a positive response. The enemy always lies saying you're going to get, you know, a frosty reception. But the lady was so blessed and said, yes, please. Now, I don't know whether she prayed there and then or whether Luana went away and prayed with her. You'll have to ask her the story. But anyway, I got a text last night from Jane to say that Luana had met with her again, I think this week, and she looked completely different. She said she could hardly recognize this woman. And she stopped and she said, how are you? And the woman said, I can't tell you how different I am. And Luana said, well, you look it. You look it. She said, everything changed from when you prayed for me. Everything started improving. My eye, she said, my sight is so much better. It's not 100% there. I've still got this blob thing, but it is so much better. But I just feel completely different. Come on. God is able. God is able. But she just pushed a little bit beyond her comfort zone and offered to pray. I mean, that's easy. We can all do that, right? You know, and we won't always get a warm reception to some with the smell of life, to the others' smell of death. You know, it's just how it is, isn't it? But we've just got to make that decision. I'm okay with that. You know, regardless of the reaction, I'm okay with that. Because it's not about me, it's about him. And if they didn't like it, he did. You know, that's all right. And for a couple of months now, I've really... I said to the Lord, I want to be a force for good wherever I go. I just want to be a force for good wherever I go. And the Lord said to me, really clearly, straight away, well, you need to be prepared to stand out then. Right, okay. Makes sense, you know. We can't bring change unless we're different. Same doesn't bring different. Different brings change. We can't bring change unless we're different. We can't bring change unless we speak different. We can't bring change unless we do different. We need to challenge what's normal. Offer to pray. Just drop a Jesus comment in. Give a testimony. Invite them to church. Bit of salt here, bit of salt there. Flavor. Flavor. You know, this activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the Lord said to me, it's going to attract favor. The flavor will attract favor. But it will also attract opposition. It's going to work two ways for you. There'll be favor, but there'll be opposition, whether that's from people or from the enemy. But there's going to be both going on. But that's all right, you know, because I've kind of come to realize both are good. We can't lose. Favor, that's a blessing right there. But the opposition, Bible says, if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. You're blessed. The spirit of grace and glory will rest upon you. So we can't lose. If it's favor, we're blessed. If it's persecution, we're blessed. Bring it on. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. No matter what. And this scripture, 1 Corinthians 4:20, has kind of been, I was saying to Pastor Judith and Sam the other day, like agitated by this. Sometimes, you know, often, if you're listening to the Lord, scriptures, yeah, they're a blessing, but they can kind of get under your skin and just agitate you. And this one's been agitating me. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. I'm challenged by that. Because there's a lot of talk. And we need the talk. We need messages. But we need more than talk. We need the power. We need to see the power of God. I want to see the power of God. I want experience of God. I want results. I don't just want the talk. And I think we live in a world that's so overloaded by information. We've never been a more informed generation. It's absolute information overload, isn't it? All the time. There's a lot of words, a lot of opinions, a lot of theories, a lot of beliefs out there. And I don't think people need loads of words. They do need to see the power of God, to have an encounter with the greater one, the good one, the one who knows the inner thoughts, the one who knows stuff that they've never told anybody, the one who cares enough to heal, like that woman, cares enough to bring change. And so people, I need an encounter with Jesus. People need an encounter with Jesus. And, you know, his full name is Jesus Christ. And Christ isn't just a surname. Well, it isn't a surname. It has meaning. Words, names in the Bible have meaning. Christ means anointed one. Anointed one. And the word anointing means to smear. Now, I was thinking of it like this, and I hope this doesn't offend you in any way, because I don't mean this to be irreverent, but I was thinking of the anointing like sun cream, right? You put it on, it's invisible, but it's active. It's powerful, if you like. It works to protect, doesn't it? After Jesus came up out of the Jordan, it says the Holy Spirit came upon him. Anointed him. Power was on him. From that point, he went into his ministry. Miracles started to happen. Here, there, and everywhere. The anointing, or the Spirit, came upon him. It says he was an ordinary human being just like us in everything but sin. And every miracle he did as an ordinary flesh and blood man, but with the anointing. I don't know if that helps you. It helps me. Sun cream. It's on. It's working. I can't see it. Active. And we're very aware of our ordinariness, aren't we? I'm very aware of my ordinariness. I'm aware, you know, of a few sort of aches and pains occasionally, and we're aware of our souls, our thoughts and emotions. We're very aware of our humanity. But the Lord is challenging me, and I believe challenging us, to become more aware of the anointing. The God factor, if you like. Peter and John were very aware of the anointing. When they were presented with this problem, lame man, they basically said, "We've not got what you want, but we have got what you need. We've not got money, but we've got power. How's that? Take that." man was over the moon. First time in his life he'd walked. Think of it. First time in his life he'd walked. That was a God encounter. So it's not just little old you, and it's not just little old me. It's little old you with big old him. Come on. Who are we more aware of? Now, you've seen this picture many times, but it really helps me. The three circles: spirit, soul, body. We are spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. Christ is on the inside, the anointed one. Remember, Christ means the anointed one. The anointed one is on the inside. But he doesn't want to stay on the inside. He wants to get out and about. He wants to get into your soul, affecting your soul, into your body, healing, energizing, strengthening your body, and out beyond that circle, out to reach the world. Now, I want to use the scripture. I want to use the example of strength, really. Ephesians 3:16 says, Paul prays that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So strength is in your spirit, right? It's in my spirit as well. Excuse me a second. Strength is on the inside, but he doesn't want the strength just to stay on the inside. He wants his strength to benefit our whole person, to get out into your soul, and then to get out into your body. That strength needs to benefit every part of you and every part of me. That's the will of God. And there are no shortcuts to this. Honestly, the only way I know how, right, to see this in my experience, not just as a theory. We all know a lot of theory in this church, but the Lord is wanting to change the theory to experience. The only way I know how is to sit, for example, with that scripture, or whatever ability of God it is that I need at any point, just to sit with him, which means I sit with the word, until faith comes. And I believe that the strength is on the inside, but I thank him for that strength then affecting my soul. It's like a percolating effect, affecting my soul and affecting my body. Now, it's actual strength. It's the actual strength of God imparted from our spirit into our soul, into our body, and out. His strength, his actual strength. I make you bold and stout-hearted, he says, with strength in your soul. Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that, Psalm 138. So your soul gets lifted. I'm bold. I'm stout-hearted. I've got strength in my soul. It's called God's strength. It's not natural. God's strength. And your body receives strength. This transfer, if you like, it gets into your body. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount upon wings like eagles. Over. Not flapping. Just over. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not grow faint. If you believe it, you can have it. And let me tell you, you can believe it because you've got faith. If you believe it, you can have it. It's just a case of submitting your mind to the word. Too often we try and submit the word to the mind. It doesn't work. You get into unbelief like that. You've got to bow your mind, submit your mind to the word, and then the Holy Spirit brings faith. Can't change ourselves. Can't change ourselves. Look, we're just this kind of flesh and blood lump, you know? Flesh and bones with limitations. But if we spend time with the unlimited one, the anointing rubs off. What's on the inside starts to come out. My gosh, we need it. The tragedy is if Jesus stays on the inside, there'll be no rewards when you get to heaven and say, I've got Jesus on the inside. Well, you're in. But no rewards, because he should have got out. If Jesus, I've written it down like this. For me, it's helpful. If Jesus is imprisoned in you, you will be in a prison. I've experienced that. In my soul and in my body, there's no freedom, there's no life. Yes, Jesus is on the inside, but there's no freedom. The Holy Spirit wants to, all of the ability of God, into your soul, into your body, and out. We need to let him live. Let him live his life through us. Let him breathe, if you like. Let him become visible. I love this scripture in John. I've got it in the Amplified here. It says, "The person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and reveal myself to him. I will make myself real to him. I will make myself real, visible, manifest, appear to him, to that one. Make real, become visible." This is extraordinary. Oh, come on. Let's get the religious hat off, ceiling. Jesus visible to you and through you, flowing out of your spirit into your soul, into your body and out. Jesus through your thoughts, Jesus through your emotions, Jesus through your words, Jesus through your touch, your hands. Believers lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. There's a power transfer. I years ago, I saw it like, you know, jump leads in a car. One battery is dead, the other one's got some life. You join the two, boom. The life is transferred. Our arms and hands are like jump leads. We can transfer the power of God to another person. This is amazing. Come on. The world needs us. You're born for this. This is God's great big plan for you and me. As he is, so are we in this world. Oh, come on, think about that. As he is, anointed with the Holy Spirit, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, so are we in this world. And it's the anointing. Him. The anointing. And you know, it makes everything easier. And I am learning. It's less about trying and more about trusting. I know it's kind of obvious, but it's faith. Faith isn't striving. It's a surrender. It's a kind of leaning back on his word saying, well, I trust you then. Over to you then. Because these miracles, we can't heal a fly. We can't heal an ankle, can't heal an eye. He can. The anointed one can. And so it's over to you, Jesus. One scripture that I've lived with really from the start of the year, and I hear it most days, I completely love it, and Lord, don't stop, because I could live with this one for the rest of my life. It's Zechariah 4:6. Not by might. Just take that. Not by might for the rest of the week, month, year, till you go and be with the Lord. Not by your might. Elbow grease. You know, arm of the flesh. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. By my spirit, says the Lord. Whatever difficulties or challenges you're facing at the moment, just take that scripture personally. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. He's the answer. He's the answer to everything. More of him is the answer to everything. Even really practical, seemingly not a Jesus issue, I just need my car fixed. You know, or I just need the dog next door to stop barking. You know, still, he is the answer. He is. Because either he stops the dog barking, you know, just to take this example then, he gives you wisdom, about what maybe you just need to buy some earplugs, or the person moves house. I mean, there's different scenarios can happen, but you just need more of God. Whatever the issue is, more of God is the answer. He changes what seems unchangeable. You know, these foregone conclusions, that's just the way it is, your natural head will tell you. Well, no, because our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. Foregone conclusions. He can bend natural law. He can reverse predictions, diagnosis, whatever you've said, the experts said, your friends said, your parents have said. Come on, show yourself strong, Lord. He can reverse things. Yes, he can. Only believe. Only believe, he says, you'll see the glory of God. Only believe, only believe, only believe. That was another Andy Elms thing, wasn't it? The miracles. You can see miracles when you believe. And so it's this, just staying connected, you know? Just keep your peace. That's another thing I've learned to do. The Lord often says to me, just keep your peace. Stay connected, keep your peace. Just give to me, receive from me. And I'll work, I'll work, I'll work. We're going to look at Zechariah 4. We're going to read the whole thing through. The whole story in Zechariah. This not by might thing. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who's wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? Do you hear the Lord ask you questions? I do. You need to have your ear inclined because he will. You ask him questions, you get answers, but he'll ask you questions. And he's looking for answers. It's a relationship, isn't it? What do you see? So I said, I'm looking. And there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other at its left. This is a detailed picture. It's not wishy-washy clouds and a bit of pink. This is detail. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these things, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now, pictures, you know by now, pictures really help me. I'm sure there are many here who, you're a visual learner. I'm a visual learner. I hear some stuff through my ears, but a lot of it I get through my eyes. And I attempted to draw this in my journal, this picture. And it wasn't very successful, but still I find it helpful. So I'm this lampstand in the middle with the gold bowl on my head with the seven pipes and the seven lamps and the two olive trees as well. And what I get from that is there's a constant supply. The trees, olive trees, are just providing this constant supply. It will never run out because they never run out because they're supernatural. But I often remember this picture. You know, when I'm facing something challenging or something difficult, I just think, well, Lord, you're my resource. You're providing the oil right now. Everything I need, right when I need it. The wisdom I need, the grace power I need, the joy that I need, whatever it is. We need him out of the inner man. Because actually those trees are on the inside. The Holy Spirit, the oil is on the inside. We need the oil out into the outer man, into our souls, into our bodies, so that we benefit and other people benefit as well. The anointing breaks the yoke. Do you know that scripture? The anointing oil of the Holy Spirit shatters, so it can't be put back together again in pieces, the yoke of the enemy in our lives. But you know, the anointing on us shatters the yoke of the enemy in people around us. You know, that is so the will of God. He wants to break the yoke, this heaviness that people carry, this torment that they live with, the anointing breaks the yoke. Because there's a battle. There's a battle on. We're well aware, aren't we? You know, if you've had any time really as a born-again, spirit-filled believer, you will have experienced battle. Whether you've recognized the source or not, the source is spiritual. Because we do have an enemy. You know, there are consequences. It's invisible, but the consequences are visible. You see it, you feel it, you experience battle. And I want to make a comment that might surprise you, but it's absolutely true. And the comment is this: God is in charge, but he's not in control. That's the truth. He's Lord. He's Lord over all. But he's given us free will. God doesn't want anyone to perish. Are people perishing? Yes. Are people being influenced and damaged by the enemy? Yes. Parents, you understand this. You're in charge of your households. Does stuff happen that you don't want? Yes. You're in charge, but you're not in control. Stuff happens. Negative things happen. You know, and we have an enemy. He's called the God of this age. And through sin, he is able to hinder the will of God, and he is able to prevent the will of God. There are two kingdoms, and they're conflicting all the time. Matthew says this: from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So these two kingdoms are violently opposing. You're part of it. You live in this life. It's just the way it is till we go to glory. But look, we can either live defensive or we can live offensive. We either live in fear or we live in faith. Look, let me really recommend faith to you, because faith takes you up and over. Yes, there's a battle, but my gosh, we are armed and equipped to win it. Ephesians 2, verse 6 says we've been raised to sit with Christ in the heavenly realms. Where are we? We're not down and under. Christ has raised us up and over. Don't think about your physical position. Physically, you're on earth, but spiritually, you are in Christ. Your ranking in the spirit is up there. Up there with Christ. Your authority is in Christ. So where is the enemy? Down and under our feet. Come on, he needs reminding at times, but we need to think over, not under. Just say to the person next to you, think over, not under. We have an enemy, but he doesn't, you know, we shouldn't live scared of him. We need to rule over him. Ephesians 6 talks about our weapons. We've got a helmet of salvation. We've got a breastplate of righteousness. We've got a belt of truth. We've got a shield of faith. We've got a sword of the Spirit. Nothing's on our backs. Have you ever noticed that? There's nothing to protect your back. Why? Because the Lord never expects us to turn and run from the enemy. No. No, no, we put him to flight. And not just we bind you, Satan, we silence you. So he's silent, but he stays. No, I silence you, I stop you. You get out, go. Stop and leave in the name of Jesus. We've got to face him with faith in who we are and where we are. We're in Christ, raised, we're over. We've got weapons, we've got authority, but my gosh, we need to use them. You need to use them. There's a lot at stake, not just in your own life, but our destiny, you know, what we're actually called to do. He trains our hands for war. He will arm you with strength for the battle. I love Psalm 18. It's one of my favorites, and I find it a fascinating chapter because it's kind of split in two halves. The first half of it, David is... He's really beaten by the enemy. I mean, he is. That's the reality of it. He's been hurt, he's been wounded, and he is kind of frail and hurting. And verse 16 says, he reached down from above and drew him out of many waters, delivered him from his enemy who was too strong for him. God came to his rescue. And there are times in our lives, it's like, just God, I need, come to my rescue. It's too strong, it's too much for me. But what happens is, in the second half, the Lord, he gives him light. He gives him the ability to run. He trains his arms, his hands to fight. He is energized, trained, equipped, so that by verse 34, he gets the necks of his enemies and beats them like dust in the streets. Look, God could have carried on rescuing him for the rest of his life, and David would be like, oh, thank God, God showed up. Do you know what I mean? He just rescued me again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know the Lord wants to give us the joy of conquering our own enemies. You've overtaken your enemies, he says. I've given you the necks of your enemies. Fear, anxiety, torment, sickness. Come on, beat them by the Spirit, because he trains your hands for war and you fight by the Spirit, with the strength and the weapons that he gives you. But my gosh, there's a victory in that. There's a joy like no other when you overtake your enemies. And it's like, no, you can't defeat me anymore with that. No, 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 I've overtaken my enemies. I got the necks of my enemies, praise God. Naturally speaking, none of us want war. We just don't. We want an easy life on the sofa. I know what I do. I'll admit it. Who wants war? Who wants conflict? You just don't. But the more you get the word in your head, the more the word influences your emotions, you know, and you start to stand up on the inside. You know, you get a bit feisty, you get a bit defiant. And it's not against people, it's against the enemy. Can we have the next picture? This kind of feisty, come on, you come against me, I come against you. No, 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 devil. You're not having my joy today. Neither are you having my peace. You're not having my faith. You're not having this, that, or the other. We're the head, not the tail. You're not wagging my emotions anymore. You're not like that woodpecker on my head anymore. No, you're not having my blessings. You're certainly not having my fruit. You are not having my destiny to win souls. And I am going to see the power of God through these hands and this life. And it's the same for you. But we got to think right. You got to think where you're raised. You got to think over, not under, and rule. Rule, rule, rule. We're anointed not just to be like Jesus, but to do like Jesus. Back to Philippians. I'm not saying that I have all this, I have this all together, that I've made it. But I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. We're anointed to rule over the enemy. We're anointed to bring his kingdom wherever we go. Not just the talk, but the power. The power, the power, the power. And we need to live more out of our spirits. This is another challenge the Lord's been challenging me with. Live more out of your spirit than your head. Your spirit knows things your head doesn't. You know, you can look at individuals and think, well, you know, seemingly successful, seemingly got it all together, but you don't know. The outward appearance can be deceiving. The Lord knows exactly what's going on. And so we've got to draw this grace out of our spirits. Think of the oil. Draw it out just by believing. Believing and speaking. Believing and acting. Like Luana, believing and just taking a step. Well, I'll pray for you. I'm a Christian. I believe God heals. Can I pray for you? Simple, really. Let him loose. Let him fill your thoughts and your emotions and your words and your hands, your touch, you know, as the Lord leads. God through you. And I'm going to finish with a picture of a bus. Who's seen that? We've all seen that, haven't we? Not in service. How annoying is that? When you're waiting, I mean, I'll be honest, I've not caught a bus for a lot of years, but how annoying would that be, I'm sure, if you're waiting for a bus and this turns up. Not in service, just goes right on by. And I think that's how a lot of Christians can live their lives. You know, we're just not in service. We're perfectly designed and equipped to bring the kingdom of God, just not in service today. It's not available. And look, he knows our schedule. I'm not kind of, I don't want to say this without understanding. A lot of us are really busy, particularly parents. I know, you know, some days you just feel like patting yourself on the back when you've got out the door with both kids, packed lunch and matching socks and shoes. You know, I get it. But God can work within that. He can, you know. If we make ourselves available, tuned into him, just, okay, Lord, you know my schedule, you know what I've got to do today, but I'm listening to you, and if there's an opportunity, I'll speak. I can drop in a Jesus comment. I can say, I'll pray for you. I mean, how long does that take? 30 seconds? Maybe it's just a five-minute conversation somewhere, here, there, everywhere. But if we make ourselves available, God will work. We just got to give him something to work with. Pray, he can heal. Drop in a Jesus comment, people start to get thirsty. Invite someone to church, he can start to work with that. You know, we got to give him something to work with. Okay, now, just, I finally want to finish with this. I'm really praying, and my prayer has been that you won't feel pressure from this message, because I've sat through messages similar to this before and kind of just felt pressure, like, oh, I've got to do more. And it kind of is that, but it isn't. Yeah, we need to reach out and be the salt and light that we're designed to be. But if you feel pressure, it's because you're not in faith. As soon as you get in faith, you know, you realize, well, he's got to do it all anyway. All I've got to do is the odd comment, the odd prayer, the odd invitation. It's over to you, Lord, you know. And we're gonna look at this together in a minute, Isaiah 61, but just go back to the word, and Isaiah 61 is a great place to start, and let that drip feed just work on your heart and your mind until you start to believe it. Well, I'm anointed to talk about Jesus. I'm anointed to pray for the sick. I'm anointed to open prison doors and let captives out. I'm anointed. Let's stand. The word just, you know, it's yeast, but the yeast has got to get into the dough, into you, and start to get active, because then it motivates you, but it doesn't just motivate, it enables you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.